And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael, and I'm being joined by one of my co-hosts, as always, the Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan.
The fabulous, the amazing, the incredibly sarcastic, who always fights with you on the ratings of the episodes, Sasha Kaplan.
Okay, first off, everyone fights me on the ratings of every episode, but nobody cares about that right now, because what we need to say right now is the episode that you're actually about to listen to was pre-recorded, and then we had to redo the intros and the outros for reasons. And so if this episode that you're listening to sounds a little disjointed as a result of that, we do apologize, but we had to record new intros and outros. And with that said, we hope you enjoy the episode. We're doing Grumblebee and Two Heads Are Better Than One. And let's just hop right into this with everybody's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through of Grumblebee. Which we start in class, and Miss Appleby is handing out grades, and Billy got a B. Oh, the horror! A B. I've done worse. The team tries to console Billy over his B score, but yet at Rita's palace, Rita wants a B monster. Because, hey, why not? If you get a B for a grade, let's just get a B to be a monster. Good thinking. Which then Finster confirms the Grumblebee. Back at school, Billy really wants to get into the Young Scientist Club. Trini stays behind to help Billy study, and at the park, the others shoot some hoops. Tommy is at a karate competition, which is why we don't see him, but then Kim, Jason, and Zach are attacked by the putties. Goldar shows up with a special rope and ties them up. Grumblebee and Unleashed is unleashed, and Zordon has Billy and Trini brought to the command center, and they morph into action. Billy's struggling and gets hit with the bee's venom, and Billy and Trini ultimately retreat. They go to the park to try to help the others, but the Grumblebee strikes again, and Billy and Trini have to morph back into action. And Billy's still struggling against this monster. Meanwhile, Alpha frees the others, and they morph into action. After defeating the putties, Bee strikes, and Alpha creates a device and sends it to Billy. And of course, he knows how to use it already, because he's a freaking genius. And that's how science works. Not really. Rita makes Bee grow, and it's Zord time, and it's actually a pretty lengthy battle between the monster and the Megazord, but the Rangers win, and then at the juice bars, the Rangers are hanging out, and Billy got an A and made it into the club, and then Bulk and Skull studying to find out that if they don't get a C on the next test, then the top six students have to tutor them over the summer, which put the Rangers into a panic frenzy.
Was it actually over the summer?
Yes.
All right. I have a lot of questions about this episode. First of all, Billy has been shown to be like a super genius. So like he gets a B because he misses one question on the test. Miss Applebaum does not know how to scale her tests, clearly. But the funny part of this, I think, is not even the fact that he got a B. It's the fact that we find out that Kimberly has a, I'm so shocked by this, and by that I mean not at all, that Kimberly has a B average, and yet she's still one of the top six students in the class of like 20 to 30. I'm going to call BS on that one. I'm going to have to, because there's no way Kimberly's in the top six of that class. I can see Trini and Billy. I mean, Tommy could, I guess, because we know he actually, as we find out later on, he's a very sciencey guy, considering what he ends up getting a degree in college and whatnot. So, fine. Jason and Zach are also capable. So, like, them I can believe, but Kimberly specifically told us that she gets B's all the time.
I'm a C average student, so I just want you to know I am the number one person in class that's smart.
Yeah, I got that. but there's another part of this. I really like Trini and Billy bonding. I think their friendship is like one of the best in Power Rangers. Bulk and Skull trying to tease Billy about his B on an exam is so dumb, because like, it's like, if you made fun of me for getting an A on a test, like, you got a C. You have zero room to, like, judge anybody's grades at that point. You know, so it's just silly. But the one thing I want to point out, and this is my favorite part, is the bee monster. Because this will not be the last time we see that bee.
Yep. But go the figure. Bee. But go figure. It's like Billy gets a B grade, and Rita's like, aha, I want a bee monster.
Look, we've concluded over and over again that Rita is a very dumb villain in the sense that, like, over the course of Power Rangers history, we see villains gaining things for their ultimate goal, like gems or power sources or, you know, they do other things other than fight the Rangers. Rita's turned fighting the Rangers into a hobby. Like, imagine if she decided to say, forget Angel Grove, I'm going to destroy Europe. Like, what are the Rangers going to do? Like maybe they can get teleported to Europe, but, like, by the time they get there, Rita could have at least destroyed Paris, for sure. So, it's one of those things where, like, she's just a bad villain.
Well, the funny thing is that if you've read the comics... that actually is the case. Rita does attack the rest of the world, and the Rangers actually have to split up with their Zords and go to other parts of the planet to protect them.
I'm going to say something, and it's going to be really obvious. We're not reviewing the comic, are we?
I know, but it's kind of canon now at this point.
Nah, it is, but it isn't. It's one of those weird gray areas because you could argue that the things that happen could have happened, like, in between the episodes. But at the same time, there's things that technically go against the canon of the show. So it's an awkward gray area.
Yep, and of course...
especially because, like, the new Mighty Morphin Power Ranger comics technically take place in a world where they have cell phones, so...
Yeah, well... The other thing is, and they have Instagram because of the variant covers where they have Instagram variant covers.
So there you go.
But the thing actually, and at the time of this recording, MMPR issue number 50, which is the end of Necessary Evil, the conclusion of that, came out around this time of recording. Of course, this episode is probably going to be heard in like August or September or something like that.
Well, by the time this episode is released, I will have caught up. But it's also, I find it interesting that Alpha sent this, like, very specific weapon for this very specific monster in the span of, like, him showing up. I'm starting to think that Zordon has Rita's palace bugged because it's just, like, are they, like, does the viewing globe scan the monster as the Rangers are fighting it? Like, is that how that works? So I then guess. Zordon is able to give them all of this random explanations about who the villain is and their name. And
I think once a villain touches, because one of the things is that, like, in one of the episodes where, you know, if Rita's palace is on Earth long enough, it can become even more powerful. So it's kind of like one of those because when the palace was on Earth, Alpha hacked it. And that's how they're able to find out this and that about other... I think it was actually about Goldar's Zord. And so it's like... But, like, so I'm assuming that anytime a monster touches the ground at Earth in Angel Grove, they're able to scan it, find strengths, find weaknesses, and stuff like that. Because once it's on Earth and it's outside of the palace, which is in its own, like, dimensional portal, per se, you know, it's out of the dimensional portal, so they're able to analyze it.
This is what happens when adults review a kid's show. We ask the important questions, children.
Because the kids don't care. I obviously didn't care. I was watching it as a kid. So
yeah, the bee monster will show up again in Power Rangers in Space, which is, like, the best season of Power Rangers, fight me. And it's a very different take, but it's, I mean, obviously they reused the suit because they had it or whatever, which is awesome. But yeah, so it was fun to see it because I remember thinking, like, It's been a while since I actually rewatched Power Rangers, the original Power Rangers, Mighty Morphin. I don't think I've watched it since like the 90s. So it's been nice to kind of go back, like, oh wait, I remember this, and like, oh, this is where this villain was. So that was fun.
Wow, this episode was really bad.
This episode just made no sense. Like, we're also not really given an explanation of why Billy got a beat. Like, did he have?
He says like, oh, well, this is like the answer I got wrong, and it was about something about bees and stuff like that. So it was like,
right, but like, but it's Billy. This kid built communicators and
the rad bug.
Right, and he'll graduate high school early. Like, I have a very hard time imagining this child getting a B on anything. Like, even Miss Applebaum walked by and was like, I'm so sorry, Billy. And like, no, you should ask this child, why did he get a B if he's never gotten a B before in his life? Like, something is clearly wrong. I feel like if the episode focused more on the fact that, like, maybe Billy was, like, having trouble sleeping because of all of the ranger fights or because he's really stressed, like, I feel like that would have been better than, like, oh, he just got an answer wrong on a very poorly, like, laid out quiz. If one wrong answer ruins your, like, letter average or your letter grade for the test. These are the thoughts I have as an adult, all right? But, yeah, that's all I have.
For Grumblebee? Oh.
Except for the very important fact that the poison that the bee shot at Billy was silly string. That is very important to note.
And if I remember right, the purple goop that was also on them was like that Nickelodeon slime stuff.
Well, it's Sentai footage, so who knows? But here's the other thing. As I've been rewatching this, I've actually started to notice a little bit more. I've noticed the transition a little bit more. And you start to notice very clearly where the American footage ends and the Sentai footage begins. So it's very interesting to see, like, even when it's like a semi-unmorph fight, you can still see like the slightly, like, I don't want to say slightly more pixelated or whatever, but like you can tell that like the screen changes a little bit.
Well, yeah, and that's because like the Sentai footage is a year older than the American.
True,
footage.
But we're also watching it, like, I'm watching everything through Netflix, so because of like my own screen and like you can see just the difference better, I think, than like I did originally when I was watching it in a tiny television in my grandma's room.
Yeah, and like I'm watching it on DVD for my PS4 on my 32 inch HD TV.
So, oh wow, we're so fancy.
Yeah, I watch it like a normal person, but yes, this is a shot at all the streaming
never
services.
Be normal.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm very happy not having Netflix, so it's okay. So next up, you have Two Heads Are Better Than One. Oh, actually, no, quickly. Grumblebee clocked in at 20 minutes and 20 seconds, so it knew it was going to get reviewed in the year 2020. And it got an IMDb score of a 7.0 out of 10.
I think it should have been a little bit lower, but fine.
And now we have Two Heads Are Better Than One with everyone's favorite segment In My Mind, which is the quick run through, which we are at the youth center and Tommy and Jason teach a self-defense class for a bunch of moms. Kim and Trini help do a demonstration. And then at the palace, Rita wants a two-headed monster. Tommy and Jason head to the park to train, then get attacked by a new monster and morph. They struggle, and Zordon has all of them transported to the command center and Tommy to go search for a special fruit. The others morph into action as the monster and putties go to the park. While Tommy finds the flamingos, Goldar sends putties to attack and steal the fruit. Tommy goes to the juice bar and gets the fruit from Ernie, and then the Rangers are taking a beating, and Jason's had enough but gets beat up. Tommy to the rescue as he gives the fruit and the monster fights over it. Rita makes the monster grow and it's sword time and the Rangers win. back at the youth center, Ernie gives Kim a flamingo for her parrot. Bulk and Skull show up and are disappointed and embarrassed, like they should always be, because they're the ones who are the real ones being bullied. So that was two heads are better than one.
There's a lot of back and forth bullying between the Rangers and Bulk and Skull, I gotta say.
I'm telling you, the real bullies are not Bulk and Skull. It's the Rangers.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I don't necessarily 100% agree with that, but that's fair. So here's a problem with the self-defense class, because I'm going to point this out. I am a very tiny person. Some of the moves that they do for the self-defense class, like the high kicks, I am very tiny. I will not have the force or strength or the ability to kick that high. Okay? Krav Maga people. It is not, like, the moves themselves are fine, but there's a moment where Jason and Tommy are, like, going over some of the moves they're going to be showing in the next class, and it's like, this high kick, and I'm just like, I'm a tiny woman. If some big guy is coming at me, I'm not going to be thinking about kicking him. I'm going to be thinking about how do I get out of this and run away. So I think that it's like a karate-centric version of self-defense, and I'm not knocking the moves, but it was very, like, 90s-esque self-defense, if that's a thing.
Just at the end of the day, just kick him in the balls and run away.
There you go. The help thing is valid, but there was also, like, a few other moves that I saw that, like, well, in this situation, you can actually do it that way, and this is just me gushing about Krav Maga, because it's more about, like, it's not about strength so much, but maneuverability. And for a tiny person, maneuverability is the key. And I say tiny as in, like, I'm 5'2", so, like,
but whereas someone like me is, like, 5'11".
I have a problem with the notion that the two heads are better than one, because just because there's two brain cells instead of one does not make the creature more intelligent. I think that it seems like they kind of, I like the design of this monster, and they sort of, like, fused, like, maybe two parts of a monster to make it one whole monster, and I think that gave it the extra strength, because as we saw when Tommy throws the fruit at the monster or whatever, they start arguing over it. So clearly they're not smarter. They're just more powerful because there's two brains working on the body. But there's... It was a very poor turn of phrase by Finster, though, when he makes the monster. Did you catch that?
No.
He says, one head here and one more down there.
Oh. Whoopsies.
Like, obviously he's talking about the stomach. But as a kid, you're just like, what is he talking about? Where's the other head going to be? Anybody who's seen the original Digimon will know exactly where the second head is, but it caught me off guard as an adult, I will say. Bulk and Skull, I think, are jerks more so than bullies. Like, they're jerks. They make fun of people, they tease them. There's also the fact that, like, they came into the self-defense class because they wanted to get babes. And I'm like, clearly you're late for a class of moms, but, like, go for it. And I think it would have just been hilarious if, like, at the end they come to the class and it's just a bunch of moms. And he's like, wait, where are all the girls? And they just start, like, mothering them. That would have been funny.
Instead of, like the moms just beating them up. Because, like...
Yeah, that was wrong.
I'm telling you, the Rangers are the real bullies. But the funnier thing was, is that, like, okay, so you have the one mom who has, like, the major lines, like the black mother, and it comes off so robotic. And then you have the blonde mom. She says, like, another line. And then you have this shot of them just standing there. And this is, like, awkward silence. And you could just kind of see the taller blonde mom just kind of looking off in the distance, like was this in between takes or something, and they just were like, ah, that looks good enough, just throw it in the episode.
I mean, given the budget of this show, probably. Let me see what other notes I have here. So they're emphasizing constantly that Tommy can't actually help them unless it's like a super dire situation because, you know, he's on reserve. He's the second string Power Ranger. He's been demoted to JV squad. Hopefully Brian appreciates that.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, they're playing off the whole thing of Borai in Jew Ranger, which is essentially, like, his power is just limited. Like,
I know, but it's just funny that it's emphasized every episode.
It's like, but, no, you're... Well, I mean, we're almost to the end of the season, of season one. And you damn well know when we do we start with a three-parter, which is the mutiny for season two. You know damn well that's just going to put Tommy in, like, well, I'm screwed.
Yep, sucks to be him. Although, I will say, we do see Tommy, like, arrive, and we actually see, like, really, he gets his own theme music.
Yep.
God bless Ron Wasserman. And it's like this Go Green Ranger, and it sounds awesome. It just sounds so cool. I enjoyed that. I'm glad to know Titanus is still around. I hadn't seen him in a while, so good to know. Yeah, it's still a bird brain. The monster's still a bird brain.
Yep.
I found it funny that in order to get the fruit from Ernie, Tommy told Ernie that Kimberly had a parrot and didn't bother to tell Kimberly that he told Ernie about the parrot. So, but whatever.
I mean, that's being a good boyfriend. You know, you just don't tell the girlfriend anything and then she finds out later. Oh, wait, that's the things you don't do.
Yeah, that's on the list of things not to do. Or how to stay single 101.
I mean, hey. I mean, when I was with my ex-girlfriend, we've been broken up like almost 9 years now at this point. And like, I remember like she went to San Francisco for a funeral and then she came back with a puppy and she's like, she texted me as she was getting ready to come home and was like, oh, I got us a puppy. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, didn't ask. Just went, yeah, I guess got a puppy.
Nah, like, not needed, apparently.
And it's like, so ladies and gentlemen, now you also kind of know why she's an ex-girlfriend. Communicate with each other. Communication is key to relationships.
So back to Power Rangers. I think
We did a Power Ranger thing. We educated.
Yes, we did. So over the course of various Power Ranger episodes, there's episodes that tie into the overreaching arc of the show. There's episodes that are PSA episodes. And then there's character building episodes, episodes that feature a specific character for the purpose of telling us more about them or helping to develop their character. With Billy, it was a Billy-centric episode to help us develop the fact that maybe Billy's not as smart as he thinks he is, I guess. That didn't do that well. But this episode falls into the PSA category episode because it's about self-defense, which only shows up, you know, at the beginning and end of the show of the episode as often happens. But I think it's still nice to acknowledge that, like, self-defense is important and having some type of self-defense capability will never be a bad thing to have. So that is my PSA for the day, children.
All right, so with that, two heads are better than one, clocked in at 19 minutes and 51 seconds, because sure, why not? Let's be in the 50s on that one. And it had a score on IMDb of a 6.9 out of 10.
So, yeah. I think I can see why Billy's episode would be higher in terms of rating. Because we did get some interesting fights. We got to see Trini and Billy fighting on their own against the monster. We got to see a new weapon a new toy for kids to buy. So there's a little bit more of like what I dub as like ingenuity of like, okay, this monster's a little bit different. How do we fight him? or it or her or whatever. So I can see why Billy's episode, Grumblebee, was higher rated than this one.
Yeah. And with that, Sasha, where can the people find you on the social media?
As always, geekgirl101.tumblr.com, at geekycaptain on Instagram, and of course, that place where I cry in a corner and complain endlessly about what writers are doing to my favorite characters, that's geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com.
All right, and you can find me on the Twitters at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, and of course, everything is on the website at txhdhockey.com, and for this show specifically, /VFTG, which is call letters for Voices from the Grid. So with that, Sasha, take us out.
There's only one thing left to say, and it is epic. May the Schwartz be with you.
And until our next episode, grab your morphers and may the power protect you.
Oh, yeah.